Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smart Animal Talk here on the All Paws Pet Talk radio network. My name is Karen Watts. I am subbing in for Deb Wolf today. But I'm also known as Karen at dogoftheday.com and Karen at petoftheday.com, catoftheday.com, but dogs are what we're talking about right now with our first guest. And we have with us Greg, and he is from ecaller.com. Greg, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, my name is Greg Van Curen, and I'm the owner of eCaller Technologies, and our website is ecaller.com. And we manufacture electronic training collars for dogs that use a different type of stimulation than other people use. We use a blunt stimulation that is much more pleasant to the dog. So we're kind of known as the friendly stimulation collar company.
And so is this used, you know, mainly for hunting dogs or for any type of dogs? And do they come in different sizes? And how did you come up with this in the first place?
Well, back in 1990 is when I started my first e-collar business, and that was Inotech. But I sold that in 2000, and then I started up e-collar technologies a couple of years ago. So I've been involved in this business for a long time. But, yeah, there's quite a few different manufacturers. What we've come up with the e-collar.com is a product that uses a nice kind of a stimulation. So what happens is it can be used on dogs that are very small, because it's not like the shock collars that people talk about, where, you know, the dog is surprised of the stimulation. Where ours is, you know, you can start with a dial and you just turn it up to where the dog first perceives it. So it can be used on dogs very small, and that's your level that you work with the dog. And then what's interesting is we use the vibration becomes the correction. So if you need to tell the dog, hey, you're not doing it right, you give them the vibration, and you only give them the stimulation to communicate to the dog, because the stimulation is much milder than the vibration. The vibration to a small dog, you know, startles them. So it's kind of reversed than a lot of people, but it's quite effective doing that way. And you can work with dogs that are very small that might be, you know, too sensitive for you know, a regular vibration-only collar, where you can introduce a stimulation at that first perceived level, and, you know, you can use that as your communicative message to the dog.
Right, and I think it's good that, it sounds like it's good that it has a dial, because I know even in five dogs of the same size, you know, some of them are going to be more sensitive than others.
Oh, exactly. You could have big dogs. If you go to our website, you'll see Blake out of New York. He's got a large American bulldog that his working level is 3 out of 100. Then he goes over and shows some kids, and the kids couldn't even feel it till it got up to 8, and that's with it on the back of their hand in a fairly sensitive location. So with the dial, you can start at 0 and just turn it up and watch the dog, and you can get that first perceived level, and then that's where you work, you know, with the dog. And then, you know, you can lock that in. We have a safety feature where you can lock that level in. Then you have a boost for when the dog gets more distracted, and you can adjust that boost, you know, anything from 1 to 60. But most dogs are like around the 10 level. That way, if another dog comes in the area, you can still, you know, get the dog's attention, you know, without having to go into the corrective phase of trying to use the vibration to give them a correction, for, like, smaller dogs. But the bigger dogs, they use the higher levels of stimulation as a correction for, you know, the big working dogs. But all the small dogs, we use only the vibration for the corrective. So the dogs never get corrected from the collar, just communicated to. They're quite effective even on dogs as small as 6 or 7 pounds.
Like I said, I know, you know, I've done dogoftheday.com is my website, and we've been showing off people's dogs for many years. And so I know that some dogs, you know, some dogs you could literally hit with a baseball bat and they wouldn't care. And other dogs, I had one woman with a St. Bernard, and I told her that they can be very sensitive. And she was yelling at her cat, and the dog just, like, slunk under the table like he'd been beaten.
And, you know,
So you really have to...
personalities. Yeah, we can even have a 10-pound dog that might not respond at level 30, which, you know, is pretty rare, but, you know, it does happen. It's not really the size of the dog either. The and they all feel that sensation just a little bit different. You know, ours feels more like, you know, something's grabbing them. And that's that fun stimulation I was telling you about. So it's more natural to them. Where the other e-collar manufacturers, they use this real narrow pulse, and it's kind of burny to them. And that's why you get the, like, the head twitching. With mine, you don't get the head twitching. You get a dog that's fully conscious. You know, he's not disorientated. That can happen with that narrow pulse because it goes deep into the skin. You know, it's more like, you know, getting deeper into the neck. Where our stimulation is a surface type of stimulation, so it stays on the exterior of the muscles. So the dog's always, conscious even under a higher levels of stimulation. So that doesn't affect the dog in a negative way. It just teaches the dog that you're communicating.
Hello,
right? Yeah, hello, it's me again.
Remember me? I'm the one you're supposed to be paying attention to.
Yeah. And that, and that's probably most of the people who use these collars. It's for dogs that just don't come when called. That's probably the biggest reason to have this. You know, and there's, I mean, all the problem behaviors and stuff, you can communicate that. But, I mean, you can have the nicest dog in the world, and if you can't, you know, have them, you know, a trusted recall, you can't take them off the leash. And, you know, there's nothing better for a dog than to have that off-leash time to go, you know, investigate the world and sniff around. But, you know, the owner needs to know when
I imagine
they come, it's time to come. You know? You're not getting a second come. You know, you're going to get, you know, some communicative stimulus that's going to tell you that, look toward me. And if you don't look toward them the first time, then you can go up with the boost. And but they learn fairly quickly. Most dogs respond only to the vibration after they're initially trained.
Right. You know, I want to give you an opportunity. Do you want to mention your website just before we run out of time here?
Okay. Yeah. It's real simple. It's ecollar.com. You also can, you know, you can find us on Amazon and Learberg Video.
Why don't you spell out e-collar for people?
For having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I will spell it. It's ecollar.com. We want to, you know, English is tough. You don't want it to be the caller. It's collar.com.
And our Facebook page is e-collar technologies. Would love to get some people to go like our Facebook page.
Well, excellent. You know, if anybody's interested, those are the ways they can reach them. And if you are in the car and you didn't get a chance to write anything down, go to allpawspettalk.com and you can ask us on the homepage, and we'll send you right to Greg at eCaller. Thank you so much for being with us, Greg.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more of All Paws Pet Talk Smart Animal Talk.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
The Smart Animal Talk. I'm Karen Watts, subbing in for Deb Wolf today. And we have our next guest with us. Her name is Paris. And Paris, why don't you tell people what you and your husband do for a living? I know you write about pets all the time and about pets and travel.
We do. We are full-time pet writers. My husband, John Bigley, and myself, we publish dogtipper.com and cattipper.com. And I have a couple of books coming out. We've got Texas with Dogs coming out, and then the Healthy Hounds Cookbook coming out not till next spring. But we're busy with that right now. So we stay very busy writing about dogs and cats.
And you're there in Texas. I have to tell you, whenever I have told you on email, you know, our radio listeners don't know that sometimes we communicate with people before the show, that I do a website called dogoftheday.com. And even catoftheday.com, I can always tell when I get a Texas nominee if the pet is sitting in the Texas Bluebells.
Oh.
For their photo. It seems to. Is that required if you live in Texas? You have
it
to take one of those
pictures? The bluebonnet season is in April, and we had a really good crop this year. And it's the state flower of Texas, you know. So there's some years we have really good years for photos. And since we were working on Texas with Dogs this year, we took the dogs out and sat in the bluebonnet fields and got some really nice pictures. And, I mean, that is the thing to get your dog photo in those bluebonnets. A lot of fun.
And people don't even have to put a location. We just know that that's
you just
Texas.
You know, because you don't see them too many other places, really.
Well, yeah, we certainly don't have them up here in Boston. For certain. Now, you are a lifelong dog person. How did you get into writing about dogs? And are you a cat person as well?
I am. Right now we have two dogs. We have two dogs, Irie and Tiki. They're large mixed breed dogs. And we have four cats, Inca and Coco and Linus and Felix. And I've always been a pet person. Always had dogs growing up. And actually, when I became a professional writer, my first big assignment was a story for Reader's Digest magazine about my dog Peanut and my cat Daisy. And, you know, it was a very interesting story. Peanut was a dachshund and threw his back out, became paralyzed, and had to have water therapy. And, at that time, there wasn't a lot of options, you know, as far as specialty vets and things. So we had a tub in the yard to try to teach Peanut to regain the use of his leg. He had no interest in the water therapy until our dog Daisy jumped in with him. And those two became best buddies. Daisy would stay in the water with Peanut. He learned to walk again. They used to hang out in the yard together. And so that was my first big sale with the Reader's Digest about their story. And John and I went on to become travel writers. We 20 years, we wrote travel guidebooks to Texas and the Caribbean, and, you know, traveled around a lot. And then about, I guess, 5 years ago, you know, with the change in the economy, we had lost our older dogs as well and just adopted two young puppies. They were 6 months old when we adopted Irie and Tiki. And, you know, the travel industry had changed. We said, oh, let's do something different. Let's focus on pet riding. And that's when we started dogtipper.com. And it's been great fun, and we've met so many nice people in the industry.
And, of course, when you adopt six-month-old puppies, you're going to have a lot to write about.
You have a lot to write about because they're getting into that adolescent period. And so it's a, you know, there's a lot there. And, you know, we decided we were going to do things different with this generation of dogs. And really, you know, start at the beginning and really socialize them and just do everything right and write about it. And at the same time, try to save money on their care, because my academic background was in economics. And actually, our first pet book was called Barkonomics, Tips for Frugal Fidos, about ways to save money on your pet care. And, you know, there's so many ways people can save money, because everybody right now really wants to save money, but really
I think that's always true, and of course, when you grow up with just, you know, you have your one vet you go to, you believe everything they tell you, and it doesn't even occur to a lot of people that there are lots of ways to save money on pet care. I'd love to talk about that.
There are so many good ways to save money, you know, whether it's their food or their veterinary care or just their, you know, lifestyle with them. And you know, we started out just looking at pet products, you know, and thinking, okay, we need to do something a little bit different. Because with 6 months old, of course, they, you know, they were just tearing through their dog beds right and left, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And they thought it was a big chew toy.
It was a big toy that we could de-stuff. So, we figured out, okay, let's go to the thrift store and buy some heavy-duty jeans, like the largest men's jeans we could find, and we will... we put cedar shavings in them, actually, until they kind of got past the de-stuffing stage, because it made the beds very heavy. They couldn't pull them all around. And they didn't taste very good. They didn't taste good. And of course, you know, cedar shavings are a flea preventative, too, a natural way to prevent fleas. So that was in there, you know. And then when we started writing about it, more and more people were interested in saving money and you know, still providing things for their pets. And they don't care if we've made it or if we bought it at the store and spent a fortune on it, you know. I mean, the pets are very happy with what we give them. And, you know, we still wanted to provide a really active and healthy lifestyle. And so we travel. Now we travel with our dogs. Irie and Tiki travel a lot. And, you know, we're always looking for ways to save money with them when we travel, too. Like, you know, things like staying at properties that don't charge a pet fee, you know, because you can spend a lot of money on pet fees.
That's,
you know,
right. So, and if you only know that the certain high-end hotels allow dogs, you know, finding out inexpensive ways to do that is very important.
It is, you know, and like Red Roof, there's no pet fee for staying there, and they will accept large dogs like ours, because we've got a 65 and a 60-pound dog. So, you know, there's some properties that they won't accept the large dogs, and some have breed restrictions. Tiki is an American Bulldog mix, American Bulldog, Doberman, Poodle, and Shelfie. So she's a little bit of everything. And, you know, so we're really conscientious about restrictions like that. So, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind as you travel. But, you know, I think traveling with the dogs is so nice because it is a great way to save money, because you go places. It don't cost anything. It can be just like a little local park, and you're going with your dog and they're seeing it for the first time, and you're kind of re-experiencing it like it's brand new, you know, when you go with them. And
that's
it's,
right.
It's
you
a
know,
nice
that's,
way.
That's a nice way to see places, even if it's somewhere you've been before. You know, when you walk a dog, you meet your neighbors. And that's true when you travel. When you walk a dog, you meet people. And if you have a well-socialized, friendly dog, you're going to attract attention, positive attention.
It's amazing how many people will come up to you and talk, and a lot of times they're traveling, they miss their dogs, you know, and they're happy to see another dog, and, you know, you meet other travelers, you meet local people, you know, when you travel, and just every place, and we've gone to restaurants with the dogs, you know, and the waiter will come up, and we were down in Houston recently, a waiter came up and was talking to us, he had brought his dog over from Bulgaria. and had immigrated to Houston and you know, came over with his dog. And, you know, things that we never would have known, these things, had this conversation,
right,
if we wouldn't have been with dogs. So it's,
that's right,
know, it's just a neat way.
It's a great conversation starter wherever you go. You know, Paris, we are running out of time for this segment. Will you stick with me?
I will.
Absolutely great. I think we have so much more to talk about. Folks, we will be right back with more Smart Animal Talk here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
I need you.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know, I have to tell you, Dr. Carol, that I'm normally hosting a chicken show now, so I'm almost partially waiting for I'm a Great Chicken to be in the background before I start talking. We have with us Paris, who is a writer of many years of books about travel and books about traveling with dogs. And Paris, this is Dr. Carol. Carol, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Paris. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. I'm an integrative veterinarian from Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and I'm delighted to be talking with you and Karen on Smart Animal Talk.
Well, hi. Hi, dear.
Now, Paris, when you're traveling with dogs, do you have any advice for people about how to find a veterinarian if they're traveling or what they should? And Dr. Carol, I'm going to ask you both a question and then you let you duke it out. Do you have advice for people when they're traveling, how they should, you know, pack and prepare and what to do? Paris,
well,
you're
I know
up first.
With us, like, with our travels, what we always do is do a lot of research ahead of time so that we have a list of veterinarians, not just at the destination, but along the route. You know, if we should have a problem, you know, en route, if we're driving all day and we know we're going to be stopping for lunch, stopping at these cities, then we go ahead and we have, you know, an emergency number, emergency veterinarian that we can reach out to if we should need to. You never know when there could be an issue.
That's right. And Dr. Carol, are there things you as a veterinarian would like people to know about traveling with their dogs?
Oh, absolutely. You know, before you go to take a trip with any pet, a couple of things you want to do is, first, you want to plan well ahead of time. You want to make sure that the hotel, motel, or destination of your choice accepts and welcomes pets. And then you want to be sure to see your veterinarian prior to your trip to make sure that your pet is healthy, up to date on vaccines. And it's always a great idea just to get a copy of your pet's records to have with you just in case an unexpected event might happen. And you have to address that with a different veterinarian. Again, whether you're traveling by car, plane, or train, each comes with its own separate restrictions. So those are other things to keep in mind and well as well. For those of you traveling by plane, remember that Pet Airways is the first pets-only airline. They take dogs and apparently now kitties to all kinds of different locations. They've got a one-way flat fee of about $149 each way, and they're growing more and more each year. So those are some initial thoughts. Other than bringing a little bit of your pet's normal food to try to avoid indigestion and upset tummies while you are traveling on the road.
And now, Paris, I know you've done a lot of travel books around Texas and the Caribbean area. Is there something that you have to worry about with water in various places? Do dogs need to keep bottled water as well as people if they're going to some areas?
Well, you know, I think with some areas you would want probably to bring water or to bring a filter, you know, filtration system. If you're taking your dogs into Mexico, you might want to carry just an easy filter. There's some really lightweight travel filters you can get, you know, because it's just not going to be practical to take your water with you on the long trip. Now, with ours, we generally have had no problem, you know, as we travel, because we travel with the dogs within Texas. Like I said, they're large, so they don't fly. You know, we've not had problems. But I do, generally, I have purchased water, you know, and so we're having that along the route. If we're going to be someplace for a few days, you know, I'll kind of transition them into the tap water, you know, instead of doing it. But these are all, you know, it's municipal water supply. So we've had no problem. And our dogs are really resilient. We're, knock on wood, we've been very lucky not to have any intestinal problems with them when we travel. They're really good, you know, with different types of food and different waters. And as Dr. Carroll was just mentioning, you know, we carry our regular food with us when we travel, because we try to keep them on as much of the same routine as we enjoy at home. And that's not just food, but also exercise, you know, a morning walk, an evening walk. Of course, they're busy through the day as well, but try to keep with that routine as much as we can when we travel.
That's right. And Dr. Carroll, when you mentioned vaccinations, is it just their normal vaccinations they need to be up on? Are there vaccinations dogs need if they're going, like, would my dog's vaccinations here in the Boston area be the same ones he'd need in Texas or whatever? Because I know you have there are different bugs and different things in different areas of the country.
Yes, in general, yeah, that's a great point, Karen. In general, yes, the vaccine requirements is the same vaccine with vaccines within the United States. Again, depending upon your method of travel, for example, if it's by airline, then there are different rules and regulations. Generally, when you need that, you know, health certificate and proof that your pet is healthy prior to traveling, that generally ranges somewhere between 10 and 30 days. And that's something that, again, you want to just check with the agent at your destination. And, you know, remember, sometimes it's great to have a couple of natural little homeopathic remedies handy in case your pet experiences stress or has an upset tummy, you know, indigestion or a little bit of diarrhea. So there's a few little tips, if we have time, that I would love to share with our listeners.
Sure.
On that.
Sure, that would be great.
If your pet does get an upset tummy or suffer a little bit of indigestion while you're on the road, a rule of thumb, no food or water for about 4 to 6 hours, after which time you could brew a little pot of peppermint tea and enjoy a warm cup along with your pet. It'll soothe your tummy as well as your pet's. Chamomile is great to calm nerves and relieve anxiety. Box 5 Flower Rescue Remedy is a natural liquid homeopathic remedy. A few drops in your pet's food, water, or directly into the mouth works just as well for pets as it does for people. You can also take a few drops and gently just rub them into what we call your pet's pressure points, which would be the hairless areas of your pet's inner ear and or the groin.
And, you know, one of the things Paris has mentioned, that they, when they got their dogs, they got them as 6-month-old rescue pups. So they've been very intentional because they were travel writers to start out with, to make sure they were well socialized and used to traveling in the car. If people are traveling in the car with a dog who normally isn't very good with travel, is there anything they can do ahead of time, or should they just get the dog used to short rides ahead of time?
Yeah, excellent.
Very much.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, I think very much you want to start with short rides. You don't want to, you know, jump into a cross-country trip, but really just take baby steps, you know, with your dog. And it may be as simple as just you may go out and sit with your dog in the back of the car and have some treats and then go back in the house. And that might be it for that day. You know, you know, if your dog shows any anxiety, just sit out there and rest with your dog and make it a really happy, fun time. You may not even turn on the car. And then you just go back in, and then the next time maybe you turn on the car, maybe you back out of the driveway. You know, but you just really want to start with baby steps instead of, you know, a whole day's trip or much less multi-day trip. You know, just go a little bit at a time.
That's right. Don't decide to cross all of Texas in one trip as the dog's first experience in a car.
That's right.
Folks,
it is a long way across.
It is a long way across. My brother was once stationed at Fort Hood, so and that's just about in the middle. So,
it is. I'm pretty close to Fort Hood, and it is nearly a whole day to get out of the state, either any direction you go.
That's right. Folks, we are running out of time. We will be right back with more Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Paris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. That was fun. Happy travels, y'all.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-collars remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Welcome back to Smart Animal Talk here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, we have Dr. Carol is still with us, and I wanted to talk about something. I am here in the Boston area in Massachusetts. I know Dr. Carol is in Ohio. This time of year, we have, especially this year, an extremely high pollen count. And I know a woman who recently said to me, you know, I have a cold, and I think my dog has a cold, too. And when I mentioned allergies, she said, I hadn't thought of that. And he's a cockapoo. And so I wondered whether allergies are common in them and what she should do. And how do you tell the difference between allergies and a cold if a dog is snuffly and sneezy and congested?
Well, in general, that's a great question, Karen. In general, when people like you and I have allergies, we cough and sneeze and have runny eyes. In general, when pets have allergies, they scratch. On the other hand, when we have a cold, We normally don't feel well, so we might be in bed. We might be a little bit lethargic, and chances are our appetite might be a little bit off. And that would be as true for us as it would be for your pet. So if you have a bright, alert, healthy pet who's acting normally, eating and drinking well, urinating and defecating just fine, but itching all the time, then allergy would be number one on my differential list. On the other hand, if your dog just doesn't seem like he or she is doing quite right, appetite's a little off, energy level is a little low, seem like we're a little mopey, then chances are we're looking at a cold, and that would be a situation where you would want to address that with your veterinarian. As far as illnesses and colds that may be transferred between people and pets, certainly we refer to these as zoonotic diseases, and there are many.
I was going to ask that, whether Kathy could pass her cold to Nini or vice versa.
Right. The chances of that in general would be extremely rare. So Kathy, really, I don't think should worry about anything as far as that's concerned.
Especially because Nini's a puppy and he likes to eat the Kleenex if she can't throw it in the trash can too big for him to reach.
Right. And that's another point. You know, you get a new puppy, you got to puppy proof your house, and then you have to teach your puppy what is okay to chew on and what is not okay. So when we see them chewing a piece of Kleenex, for example, the correct response would be to simply say no and replace the Kleenex with a proper chew toy, and we refer to that as positive reinforcement, which is a great way to start training your puppy.
And if a dog is all sniffly and congested and you're trying to wipe his nose, the last thing you want him to do is think of the Kleenex as something to chew on.
That's exactly correct.
And so what could cause nasal congestion and drippy nose in dogs?
Well, a cold, a virus, a fox on, something in the nose, cancer. I mean, the list would be endless. Mm-hmm. And again, depending on how your dog is acting, feeling, you know, energy, attitude, appetite, etc., you know, that helps you to know if it's a very serious situation that you need to address immediately, or if you can give it 24 to 48 hours, you know, and see if it's something that's just going to pass. But in general, you know, if your dog or your cat just isn't right for more than 24 hours, my best advice is always to check with your veterinarian as your first source of honest, accurate information. And for people living in Ohio, there's a crazy unknown virus. They think it might be a canine circovirus. They're actually not sure, but it is a severe illness going on for about the last 3 weeks. They're not really sure what's causing it.
Yes, I read about that in the news, and I guess there have been some dogs that have died at certain kennels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Apparently, vomiting, bloody diarrhea, weight loss, and lethargy are the most common signs. These dogs are dying. So this is a big deal. And again, it's not a time to worry. It's just a time to have your cap on and be thinking clearly and take proper precautions. You know, be sure your pet is up on his vaccines. You might want to stay away from dog parks and areas where there's lots of commingling with other dogs with whom you're not familiar with their exact health and or vaccine status. But for pet owners in Ohio that might be concerned, understand that the Ohio Department of Agriculture in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, is conducting an ongoing investigation of the case. And for anyone that's got a question or needs to know more about that, they're welcome to simply contact the Ohio Division of Animal Health. And the phone number is 614-728-6220.
I'm so glad you gave out that phone number. And because Ohio, you know, it's not a state like Florida that mainly just touches the ocean. It's got a lot of states around it. So people, you know, in Pennsylvania and Iowa and the states bordering it, also, you know, every time, anytime I think that your dog has bloody diarrhea and is lethargic, that's cause for concern.
Absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct.
And because they're not really sure where it comes from, you know, it's just something to be aware of and to pay attention. And if your vet hasn't heard of it, you know, direct them to that number that Carol just gave out. Now, when a pet is congested or sniffly, how much should you worry about, especially with diarrhea, about dehydration?
Well, a snuffy nose and congestion isn't really a big factor contributing to dehydration, but diarrhea, on the other hand, is. The fluid loss and the diarrhea, if not treated and corrected, leads to dehydration that becomes so severe it compromises the blood volume. And again, if it gets severe enough, you'll go into shock, and that will be fatal, whether you're a person or a pet. So, again, if your pet just isn't right, whether it's a snuffy nose or diarrhea, if the situation is not resolving itself within about 24 hours, please pick up the phone and, you know, and call your veterinarian. And remember that a pet's appetite is a very key sign to help a pet owner know, if you will, urgency on a particular condition. When your pet's appetite is off, when your pet stops eating, he or she is telling you that they're not feeling well, and that is something you don't want to wait on. You're always best off to address it with your vet, figure out what the problem is, and nip it in the bud. It'll cost you less, you'll suffer less, and your dog will feel better sooner.
That's right. And with all animals, you know, nobody likes to talk about poop, but poop matters. And, you know, paying attention to whether your cat or your rabbit or your dog or your bird's output is normal and looks normal is also a very important clue.
Absolutely. It's a great indication of how your pet's stomach intestines, if you will, the gastrointestinal tract is working. So observing your pet's urination as well as your pet's defecation, stool, feces, poop, whatever you want to call it, is again just a sign of an educated pet owner. And it's also a way to help you pick up or perceive a problem at its earliest stage rather than waiting until it's gotten much more severe, in which case it'll be a lot harder to correct. It right. will be more of a financial burden. So we are
out of time for this segment. We'll be right back with more Smart Animal Talk.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Pet Talk Radio. Now, Dr. Carol, as we're getting into the early part of fall here, I was wondering if you could talk about the things people should do this time of year to prepare for the change of seasons, whether they need to, you know, watch certain things or change their routines, especially because, you know, it gets dark earlier, the temperature is changing, and what preparations people should make.
You know, at this point, fall, at least for us back here in my territory, is just a wonderful, beautiful time of the year. Primary problems that we experience in the fall, in general, have to do with itching, allergies, fleas, and parasites, including ticks. So, again, making sure that your pet is properly protected against all those disorders is a very smart move. As winter and the snow approach, which I think will probably be happening a little bit sooner this year, remember that pets need a little extra food in the winter to create energy and to keep them warm. If those of you have a pet that might be an outdoor pet, you're going to have to make special accommodations as far as food, water, housing, and shelter so that they can stay healthy, warm, and dry despite being outside, you know, in adverse conditions. Remember that lakes and ponds can kind of freeze over on top, but it's not necessarily a solid freeze. So, again, be aware of those situations and keep an eye out on your dog, because ice that's not well formed can break when you walk on it, and then, boom, there's your dog in freezing cold water who's not only potentially suffering from frostbite and freezing, but also drowning. So, again, it's just a time to keep your thinking cap on. You know, things inside your house, pesticides, antifreeze is a big one. Those things you have to remember are terribly toxic. One tablespoon of antifreeze, it tastes good and it smells great. Dogs will lap it right up. It will.
I so wish that manufacturers would make it not smell good to dogs.
Well, they're working on that. I believe that I did read, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, that there might be a form of antifreeze that doesn't smell quite so delicious to dogs. There is a form of antifreeze called Sierra, S-I-E-R-R-A, that has a different form of ethylene glycol in it that is less toxic to dogs, but will still do a good job in your cars as far as protecting against ice and freezing. So again, those are things to be very aware of. And if you're, you know, changing the antifreeze in your car, your radiator fluid, your washer fluid, you know, keep your pets out of the garage, you know, and make sure that there are no spills that they can get into. Cats in the winter, they love to hide underneath that car hood because it's warm. So before you start your car up in the morning, you know, you can honk your horn and maybe bang on the hood a couple times just to make sure your cat or a stray cat didn't jump in there for, you know, a cozy spot to sleep.
Yes, you know, that's a habit that I know several people have gotten into, whereas when you walk past your car to get in the morning, just thump the hood a couple times. Exactly. Strangers will just think you're petting your car, but what you're doing is giving any stray cat or kitten or any critter who's decided that's a nice cozy spot to spend the night, time to wake up and move out before you start the engine. You know, another thing I was thinking of, you were talking about fall being such a beautiful time. You know, when we have a good fall here in New England, that, you know, fall can be gorgeous enough to fool people into thinking Boston would be a great place to go to college. And come January, they get a rude awakening. But if you're going doing a lot of hiking, which I know a lot of people do when the weather is a little cooler, is worrying about ticks and checking for ticks and worrying about Lyme disease.
And that's a great point. This is a horrendous year for ticks. Last year, for example, I personally had 26 cases of tick-borne disorders in dogs going from Alaska all the way down to Florida. So ticks are able to transmit 6 different types of diseases. Lyme's disease is only one of the 6. So that is a very real situation. The vaccine that we currently have is a Lyme's disease vaccine, which does a pretty good job to help protect your pet from Lyme's disease, but does nothing to protect your pet from any of the other 5 varieties of ticks, which, as I said earlier, cause 5 other diseases, from Rocky Mountain spotted fever to anaplasmosis to ehrlichiosis. And those are all, unfortunately, popping up more and more often. So remember, ticks need to be on your pet for approximately 6 hours before they're able to pass or transmit a disease. So, you know, once or twice a day, if you're on a hike, just take your hands and run them along your dog's body. And if you feel something or see something that's not quite right, and it happens to be a tick, promptly remove the tick, including its head. And if you're able to save it in a little jar, you can then take that back to your veterinarian to determine whether or not that's a tick to be concerned with.
I never thought of that. Or even if not a jar, if the tick is dead, you could just, you know, keep a little Ziploc bag with you and put it in there just to get the tick tested. I never thought of having the tick tested. And I didn't know, and I bet a lot of people didn't know, how many tick-borne diseases there are.
Yeah, ticks are a true issue. They're often misdiagnosed. The diseases are very insidious. Dogs start just kind of seeming to be a little bit off. Blood work-wise, you'll see what we call a non-regenerative anemia, or the red blood cells start to get lower and lower and lower. The next thing we see are kidney problems and then liver problems, which will pop up on those blood results. For people that are just completely worried and not sure, there are also panels that will rule out effectively and accurately all of the 6 different tick diseases that again, you can address that with your veterinarian, you know, and the specific laboratory in question to find out whether or not your dog may or may not have been affected by,
you know,
one of those disorders.
I was just thinking as we were talking, you know, if I was on a hike with a dog like my little doggy niece, Angel, her coat is so smooth that I could just run my hands over it and find any tick. The smallest tick would be obvious. She's half bulldog and half boxer, so she has that smooth coat. But a dog like a Sheltie or a big hairy dog, you might want to just make sure you carry a comb with you so that it's easier to feel, you know, because you can pat a Newfoundland all you want and there can be 2 more inches of stuff before you get to the skin.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why it's always a good idea to keep your dog well-groomed, especially as winter approaches. When a dog's hair coat is you know, matted and gnarly, it's not able to properly insulate and protect your pet from the cold weather. So, again, a lot of
We are running out of time, Dr. Carroll, but at least it's only September, and we'll have more time to talk about preparing for winter. Folks, we will be back next week with more Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.